Father in heaven, we've come to the end of a long day, a good day. We thank you for your word you've given to us time after time, from one speaker to the next. Now, Lord, in these fading moments of this day, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who himself is the word. Speak to us one more time. Let this word be clear. Father, through the power of your spirit, despite our fatigue, keep us alert. Give to me the right words, dear God, and the right spirit with which to speak them. Let us leave this place having been drawn close to you, giving you all the glory as we experience the growth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's something I want you to understand about God. There are many things we should understand about God. One of them is that God is very intimate in his relationships. Let me repeat that word. In our modern society, it may have a shady connotation, but with God, it is pure. God desires intimate relationships with his people. And this is super abundantly evident in the Bible if you read carefully. Even if you read carelessly, God's desire for an intimate relationship is inescapable. Let's look at some examples. Exodus 19. Let's read from verse 1. Exodus 19, reading from verse 1, please find these references quickly. Now, while you're finding Exodus, do me three favors, please. Favor number one, if you have a cell phone, I'd like you to turn it off. You did not use it when you took your exams, did you? Do you take O-levels still in Trinidad? What do you take? Whatever you take, you did not have a cell phone on. Please don't have it on in the presence of God. Turn them off, a polite request. Favor number two, while I am speaking, I'd like you to pray for me. All you need to say is, Lord, for Christ's sake, put your words in that man's mouth. And favor number three, think. Exodus 19, reading from verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, finish that verse for me, and brought you where? Unto myself. Now this is personal, and this is intimate, and this is to a certain degree private. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. What are the next two words or three words? Two words. Unto me. Above all people. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, we shall read verse 6. Book number 5. Do you have that? For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be what? A special people unto him, go on, above all peoples that are where? Upon the face of the earth. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee. This is deliberate. It is intentional. It is purposeful. It is directed. The Lord thy God hath
chosen thee.
To be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. That's intimacy. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20. We shall read verse 26. Leviticus chapter 20, reading verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have done what? Severed you. From where? Of the people. Why? That ye should be mine. Now, favor number three, what was that? Think. One person answered me. Has anyone said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth? God bless you. I'm not joking. God bless you. And have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. Now, think through Leviticus 20, verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me. Unto me. Why? The verse tells you the very next statement. Why? For I, the Lord, am holy. In other words, if God says to you, I want you holy because I am holy, what is God saying to you? I want you what? Like me. But in order to make them like him, God said, and have severed you from other people. Why? That ye be mine. Now let's just turn that around without turning it upside down. We just turn it around. You cannot be God's possession, peculiar treasure, unless, read my mind and finish what I'm about to say, unless you're separated. Now, you can be a member of the church. You can be the head elder. You can give more tithe than the Pharisees in the days of Jesus Christ. You cannot be God's peculiar treasure as long as you're connected to the world. God was very clear to Israel, I have severed you so that you may be mine. So you either belong to God or you belong to the world. You've only got two options. Question for you, but don't answer me. But here's the question. Have you been severed from the world? When the Israelites left Egypt, Stephen tells us in Acts 7, in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. There are a lot of people in the church who are really in the world. Because the world is where? In their hearts. Now, when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, the Bible says, and if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They did not even spend time thinking of where they've come from. You know, I sit and listen to people's personal testimonies. Now, let me tell you something. Be very careful how you give a testimony about your former life. Some people give it as if they miss it. And people listening are saying, well, what did I miss? You listen to someone who's been a drug addict, and the person talks about it as though he left a sparkling, bejeweled life. And some innocent person may be saying, look, there's something in my life I missed. The Bible says Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, those matriarchs and patriarchs, they did not spend time thinking of home. You know, West Indians, wherever they go, they always talk about home. They move to Toronto, they're going home.
They live in the United States, they're going home. They're in England, back home. It's always home. Now for Abraham, home was where he was. It's an amazing thing to consider that they did not spend time thinking of what they'd left. That is a severing. Now why would God sever his people? Exodus chapter 4. Let's read verses 22 and 23. Exodus 4, 22, 23. And God tells Moses to say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Even my firstborn. Now, the firstborn was the prized possession of the family. He got a double portion of the inheritance. And God is saying, Israel is to me as a firstborn. If you read the Bible in Genesis 25, the Bible says from verse 1, then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. So he had six boys in addition to Isaac and Ishmael. But if you read verse 5, it says, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Verse 6, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave them gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son. But they were also his sons, but they were not the sons of promise. In the eyes of God, Isaac was the firstborn. Abraham gave them gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son. Isaac was special. The Bible says, Israel is my firstborn. You are a part of Israel. And he says in verse 23 of Exodus 4, and I say unto you, let my son go. Why? That he may serve me, because my people cannot serve me while they're in Egypt. Are you listening? There are too many Adventists who are really Catholics keeping the Sabbath. They haven't left. There are too many Adventists who are really Pentecostals, and they still speak in tongues because, well, they're trying to describe the teachings of the church. They don't know what they're saying, so they're still speaking in tongues, but they do it on the Sabbath. There are too many Adventists who are really Hindus. We need Adventists who have been severed from whatever it was they were attached to. Now, how does God do that severing? Ellen White tells us, Last Day Events, page 45, paragraph 2. Seventh-day Adventists have been chosen by God as a peculiar people, separate from the world. Separate from where? The world. By the great cleaver of truth. What is a cleaver? I was in the Philippines, and I was in a restaurant. Now, in the Philippines, people eat with a fork and a spoon. I'm accustomed to what? A fork and a knife. They brought me a fork and a spoon, so I just felt funny. I mean, there's no Bible verse that says you must have a knife, but I wanted one. And I said, look, can you bring me a knife? The guy brought me a knife with which you would kill an elephant. No, I'm not joking. Because in his culture, you don't eat with a knife. So when I requested a knife, he brought me a weapon. Now, that is a kind of, that's a cleaver. You cut meat. You cut through bone. The Bible says God used a cleaver to cut Seventh-day Adventists out of the world. Here's the exact quoting. Seventh-day Adventists have been chosen by God as a peculiar people separate from the world by the great cleaver of truth. He has cut them out from the quarry of the world. What do you find in a quarry? Stone. Now, how do you cut out a block of stone? With a penknife? You've got to have a pneumatic drill. You've got to have something. What God used, Ellen White refers to as a cleaver. Now, she identifies the cleaver in Testimonies, Volume 5, page 455, paragraph 2. God has called his church in this day, as he called ancient Israel, to stand as a light in the earth. If you had understood what I just said, your amen would have been thunderous. Listen again, those of you who are not sleeping. God has called his church
in this day. How? As he called ancient Israel. Do you understand the comparison? No one argues that God's people in the Bible were the Israelites. It is known within Christianity, outside of Christianity, within Judaism, they still believe they're God's special people. Ellen White writes, God has called his church in this day, as he called ancient Israel, to stand as a light in the earth. By the mighty cleaver of truth, she uses that expression again, and she identifies it. The messages of the first, second, and third angels, she has separated them from the churches and from the world. Now listen to me. If God has separated us from the churches, it is because there was nothing in the churches that God wanted us to have. Now, when you talk like that, people say, you're narrow-minded. May I tell you a secret? I am narrow-minded. There are 7 days of the week, and I believe only one is holy. That's narrow-minded thinking. There are 100 cents in a dollar, 10 belong to God. That's narrow-minded thinking. The Bible says, one wife for one man. That's narrow-minded thinking. He has separated them from the churches. Let me tell you something about churches. You know who killed Christ? The church. You know who betrayed Christ? A member of the church. You know who ran and left Christ by himself in the garden? Members of Dabadi. What's this place called? Are you following me? The church abandoned Christ. The church tried to kill Christ. The church told the Romans, do our dirty work. Because we want to be clean to worship. Kill him for us. In the last days, the beast and his image, churches. When the Bible says, come out of her, my people, it is not come out of the world, which we should do. It's come out of those churches. Listen to me carefully. The world is divided into two groups. Commandment keepers and commandment breakers. Now, God loves everybody. But most people will be lost. Even though scripture is clear, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Even though scripture is clear, Ezekiel 33:11, as I live, saith the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Most will be lost because Jesus said that. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto, and few there be. That's Christ. He is the truth. He cannot lie. Now God has separated us from the churches. Then if he has done that, you ask me, why are so many Adventists trying to be like the churches? God calls you out of something. And the moment God turns around to wave at someone in a world where no one fell and sinned, you go right back. And here's what happens. Because many Adventists don't understand Adventism. Are you listening to me? Because they cannot explain the teachings of the church. Because they have no concept of the unique legacy that is ours, passed down by the pioneers. Because they are totally oblivious of the heritage that is ours, rooted in prophecy. They consider themselves like everybody else. It is built into a human being to have an identity. It is built in. And when the person doesn't get the right one, he finds the wrong one. But he must have an identity. God gave this church an identity. And nothing turns my stomach more than an Adventist trying to be a Pentecostal.
God bless all Pentecostals. But I don't see Pentecostals trying to be Adventists. Huh? I don't hear Pentecostals preaching, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They do what they do. And then we look at what they do and say, how much of that can we bring in here? I have severed you from the churches and from the world to bring them into a sacred connection to Himself. What time is it? 5 to 8. I said 5. I said 8. Okay, I don't want to lie. Give me until 8:05. Say yes. All right. Genesis 1, reading from verse 1. If you want to give this presentation a title, it's Come Out and Stay Out. Genesis 1, reading from verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The Bible says, God saw the light, that it was good. He makes no comment on the dark. Now Paul picks up on this in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? They are not to coexist. And in the physical creation, God puts in a lesson that is spiritual. I want light and darkness what? Separate. God looked at the disciples and He said, ye are the light of the world. Now, the disciples weren't the only ones listening to Jesus Christ, because Matthew 5 from verse 1 says, and seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. But the Bible says, He saw the multitudes went up to a mountain, but we know that the multitudes tended to do what? Follow Jesus Christ. So while He spoke to the disciples, the multitudes were listening, but the Sermon on the Mount was not for the multitudes. And so Jesus said with total political incorrectness, ye are the light of the world. Now John was listening, the youngest disciple. And John subsequently wrote in 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world light and wickedness or darkness. Splitting the world in two, listen to me. God's desire has always been that light and darkness be separate. I'll tell you something else that's very extreme, but God is extreme. And we live in a time when God needs extreme Christians. Drop the word Christians, extreme Adventists. Drop the word Adventists, extreme Seventh-day Adventists. If God does not want light and darkness to coexist, He wants them separate, it means that the difference between light and darkness must be immediate, instant. That's light. That's darkness. Let me say that again. Here's the Seventh-day Adventist. Here's a member of Babylon. The difference in overall lifestyle should be as sharp as the difference between light and darkness. Yes. And Ellen White says that. Listen to me. The Bible is a book of opposites. There's sin. What's the opposite to sin? You heard it this morning. Come on. One word. You heard it from Pastor Berry. One word. What is the opposite of sin? Righteousness. Now, sin is as opposite to righteousness as wet is to dry, and a giant is to a pygmy.
And it should be as an Adventist is to a non-Adventist.
Some of you look unhappy. You know, people don't like to be different. They don't. Because a different person stands out.
And we like to blend.
So you look around, and every young lady wears a tight pair of jeans, looks as though you painted them on her. Then I can't wear a skirt because I look odd. So where is the sale for jeans? Let me get a pair that's even tighter. I am a young man. I look around, and all the young men want to be rappers. And a cap with a peak this way. And a big buckle with a t-shirt cupped in behind the buckle and the pants. I can't stand out by looking different. I have to look like they look. I have severed you, that you should be mine. Listen to me. Are you severed from the world? When God severed them, it is not geographical relocation necessarily. Because Jesus prayed in John 17:15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Now, if come out of her does not mean leave the world and take a ship to Mars, then how do you come out? You come out from the thinking. You come out from the habits. You come out from the practices. You come out from the lifestyle. And so Jesus Christ could say to Pilate in John 18, when Pilate said in verse 35, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Now Jesus explains what he meant. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. You see, Jesus is saying, look, in earthly kingdoms, people fight. You get your boys together. You get your gang. And the people from Dabadi fight the people from Aruka and Karima, wherever, Sangre Grande, and wherever, Digo Martin. And they fight. Christ says, in my kingdom, there is no fighting. We handle things differently. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Because when Peter pulled the sword, Jesus says, put it up. There are no swords in the kingdom of God except this one. Put it up. You have to behave like you are a citizen of a different kingdom. Which, by the way, is a literal kingdom. You can see it visually, but you observe it in the lives of the citizens of that kingdom. Thy kingdom come, we pray. All right, it's 8:05, I assume. Let me stop. No, I'm going to stop. Because I'm tired myself. Look at your life. Look at every aspect of your life. Your eating habits, your dressing habits, your spending habits, your recreational habits, your social habits, your CD collection, and then you come to your own conclusion, am I severed from the world? Are your close friends unsaved? Jesus' closest friends were disciples. Peter, James, and John. Martha, Mary, Lazarus. Are you listening to me? His closest friends were believers. If your closest friend is an unbeliever, we've got a problem. Are you severed from the world? If your answer is yes, you've got to get rid of that non-Seventh-day Adventist boyfriend or girlfriend. Tonight. Did you hear me? Tonight. You call up that man and say, look, I am sorry I have misled you. I have given you the impression my church tolerates this kind of behavior. It does not. Forgive me for deceiving you. God be with you.
Or tell that guy who's not a member of the church, who promised you heaven and earth, but he's an unbeliever. Another one says an unbeliever is someone who does not believe in present truth. I don't care how good a Lutheran he is. He can be a sinless Baptist. He is not a believer. Get rid of them. Which is a harsh way of saying break up. Because God blesses nothing that is conceived in sin. Come out. Please. God wants an intimate relationship, but he wants it with those who have subjected themselves to his severing activity, cutting you out of the quarry of the world with the cleaver of truth. The message is peculiar to this church. Why do I say peculiar? Because they're available to everyone. Because God has commissioned this church. And when God has not commissioned you, you cannot preach it, even though it's in the Bible. Come out. What books do you read? What magazines do you read? Do you participate in carnival? Are you one of the women whining and whatever they do, half naked? Do you spend God's holy hours watching rubbish on television? The things you read, do they build your mind or prepare you for Satan's deceptions? Come out. Tonight. Say, Lord, come get me. Some of us have been so steeped in the world, we don't know how to get out. Well, cry out, come get me. And that strong man will break into the house of Satan, bind him and spoil his goods and bring you out. Leave the world. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have told you, leave the world. Be holy. Be different. Be special to God. Cleanse yourself by the grace of God from worldliness, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Come out. Stop wasting your time. By the grace of God, I renew my commitment to God now, right now. Father, give me no interest in the world, the things of the world. That's my public commitment. How many of you will say, Father, help me to leave the world and by your grace, cleanse myself of worldly influences and attachments and associations. How many of you will make that commitment tonight? Leave it. Stand up if you mean it. If you don't mean it, don't get up. You're saying, dear God, I want to be serious. Separated from the world. Many years ago, there was a preacher in New York City. His name was Reverend Ike. You may remember him, Pastor Conway, Pastor Berry. He had a saying, the best thing I can do for poor people is not to be one of them. Which made all the sense in the world. How can a poor man help a poor man? Jesus believed the same thing. He said, the blind cannot leave the blind. The best thing you can do for the world is leave it that you may then be qualified to win it. But you can't win the Egyptians while you're in Egypt. Are you with me? You can't win a drunkard while you're drunk. You can't win an addict while you're high. But when you're clean and sober, you can say, listen, I used to be. And I can guide you on the way out. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, maybe I spoke a little too harshly. Shouted a little too much, and I'm sorry about that. Lord, you know what eats me and what burns in my heart for the church. Many of us have good intentions, but that's not good enough. Lord, I beg you tonight, in the presence of heaven and earth, to do all you can, Father. Let your Spirit work overtime to convict us. We need to be separated from the world, dear God, that truly we may be yours. Please, God, we have stood to say we want to be separate from the world. And I'm asking you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, who said all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. In his name and by his power, God, give us hatred for the world and love for heaven. As you said of your Son, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. That is a child of God. Give us hatred for the world and love for the kingdom of heaven and its principles.
We all have different challenges, Father. We're at different levels of growth. Bless us according to our needs. Bless us tonight. But let us leave knowing we have met with you today. Let us come back tomorrow different from the way we were tonight. Take us home safely. Let these words remain in our hearts, dear God. Let nothing pluck them from our consciousness. Let us sleep thinking about what we've heard throughout this day. Bring us back tomorrow if it pleases you, I pray from my heart. In Jesus' name and for his sake, let all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Think of what you've heard, and the Lord be with you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.